I saw a little bit of the ending. Kind of reminded me of Biba Black. Kind of.
Yes, a little bit? Is that because they had her, like, chained down and they were doing, like, a ritual?
Yeah, I kind of expected them to start going, Zaza, Zaza, Nasta, Nasta, Zaza.
Zaza, Zaza, River. You, boy, you've seen Bubble Black just a few times, haven't you? You even know the chant. You filthy, dark, Chiaki beast.
Yes.
You just heard the song Killy Killy Joker from the anime Selector Infected Wick Sauce by the artist Kanon Wakashima. You are listening to episode 234 of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. Chiaki, my lone host tonight. You know what comes next.
I'm not sure. Maybe this is my first episode. Maybe I'm Chiaki's evil twin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe I'm the evil twin that secretly loves the Church of Mitsugi.
That would be a very big improvement over the normal Chiaki.
Oh, so you want the evil twin to stay? Evil Chiaki.
Yes. What is our evil mission, Chiaki?
Our evil mission is to make your anime addiction worse.
You know what? We can keep you. That was quite nice.
Oh, thank you. You know, I can even read. I heard the real Chiaki can't read. Yeah.
We're going to test you this episode then, because we have lots of forum members.
Oh, okay.
So our website is www.aaapodcast.com. That's 3 A's. And we're also on iTunes, where you can subscribe, listen to us live every single week.
Well, don't listen to us live on iTunes.
Oh, yeah. Live on Ustream.tv.
Live on Ustream, yeah.
At 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
See, I'm correcting you.
Yeah, yeah.
See what's going on here?
Yep. So we're also on Twitter at AAA Podcast, and of course, we're also on Facebook, so you can find us on there as well. All these wonderful places, so yeah, feel free to stop by and say hello. This is going to be sort of an interesting episode for those of you that listen on a weekly basis. The sort of balance of the three sections of the podcast are going to be a little bit mixed up today. As you can see, we have no Cram. Cram is off taking the Japanese national exam in Japan, so everybody wish Cram a good luck so he, you know, passes his test. So good luck, Cram.
Good luck, Cram.
I hope you did well.
We miss you. Come back to us.
So we're going to have an extended intro today because there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Oh, my.
First of all, it's that time of year again. It's time for the fourth annual AAA Podcast Fantasy Football League. You heard correctly. And as I say that, half of the live audience leaves.
Oh, no, that's not
just kidding.
True.
Anyway, so some of you that are listening are probably quite interested in this. So if you would like to join our Fantasy Football League, I'll keep this brief. You need to pay $20 to the PayPal account hosts@aaapodcast.com. That's hosts with an S. And once I receive your $20, I will send you an invitation to the league. If you sign up late or you submit money and there's no more slots available, I will just refund your money.
No, you want that money sent to you in a special way, right?
Yeah. So please do not send it as goods and services. If you send it as goods and services, PayPal will take a fee. It's like 7%, and I will be asking you for another dollar. So send it to family. There's an option for family.
We're family. Yeah. We're family.
They will not charge a fee. The league will be on ESPN. It will be a snake draft, and the maximum team size will be 12. We had a lot of people that wanted to play last year, and this league was just too big.
So in other words, if you want to play, get on that.
Anyway.
And yes, the money does go to the winner, by
the
way.
It does. The winner will receive all the money minus $20. So yes. That's quite a bit of money. And again, that's $20 to hosts at aaapodcast.com via PayPal. So get on that. So interesting story. Yesterday was the 4th of July.
Yes, yeah. It was.
So I would be willing to hear and mention any stories that the chat might have about their 4th of Julys. But quickly, I want to mention something that happened on my 4th of July because it was very interesting.
I remember this story. It is interesting.
It is. So I am located in Tampa now, Tampa, Florida, and I'm driving back from Clearwater, and I see this really bright light in the distance. It's about 8:30 at night. It's dark, right? And it's really storming hard. I mean, it seems like in Florida every year on the 4th of July we have a huge thunderstorm, and you know, it just goes to, it's just irony at its best, right? So, but off in the distance I see this bright flickering light rising up over the trees, and as I come around the corner, I'm going across this bridge because Tampa and Florida's full of bridges. I look to my left, and there is a house, like a family home, maybe two or three floors tall, pretty big, literally engulfed in flames. Now, for those of you that have never seen a house burning, like, and when I say engulfed, I mean the fire department wasn't even trying to put it out. They were right there, but they were merely trying to keep the trees and the grass around the house wet because there was nothing they could do for it. We're talking like 30-foot flames rising off of this thing. So It was an eerie sight. I think for those of you that haven't seen a house burning before, it was definitely something that you would maybe only see a couple times in your life. I've never seen a house burning before like that. But hopefully everybody that was in the house got out and that there weren't any pets involved that got trapped. So So the Ustreamer 614316 from the chat says that they spent their 4th of July browsing /A/B/.
Get that 4chan out of here.
Is that a 4chan? What is this, 4chan? Okay, anyway, so let's get back to normal podcast stuff. How about that?
Yeah, that was an interesting story.
Let's talk about the Sailor Moon anime real quick. The first episode just came out.
Yeah.
By the time everyone listens to this episode, probably everyone has seen it. And so everyone's going to have their own opinions already formulated about the Sailor Moon anime after the first episode. What were your initial thoughts on it as a person that's already seen Sailor Moon? Because I'm sort of a newbie on Sailor Moon, but you've seen, to my knowledge, most of it.
I've seen a lot of Sailor Moon.
Okay, so how did you feel about what you saw?
I thought that it was good compared to the original, that it was true to its source material. I really don't know if I can watch it just for the person they casted as the voice of Usagi.
You know it's the original girl, right?
I know, but I watched it dubbed, and I was a child. I was just a wee child.
All right, so that's one of the complaints I've heard, right? I threw up a message on Facebook. I was like, what did you think of the first episode of the Sailor Moon anime? Mm-hmm. You know, I got a dozen or so replies, and half of them were complaining about her voice. I think that people that watch this show in the West watch the dub on TV.
Yeah, and that's what it is for me. I watch the dub, and I'm not saying the dub voice is really any better. I think it's possibly also the fact that I was an 11-year-old girl and voices didn't really bother me. But I also, the only other thing that I didn't like about it is I don't like her new transformation sequence.
Yeah.
And the reason being,
why is that?
Before anyone gets all up on my nuts about this.
On your nuts?
On my nuts.
Does Evil Chiaki have nuts?
Evil Chiaki has nuts.
By the way, Evil Chiaki, that 5-star review reading was it left something to be desired. You need to work on it.
I'll leave you something to be desired.
Okay, okay.
With this pen.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You know, cheeky, okay.
All right.
So
the CG, I actually think just as a sequence, it looks good. I think if you just take the transformation sequence and you look at it as a transformation sequence and you don't watch the show around it, it's not bad. And the animation in the show itself, it's pretty rough.
It's not very good.
But I forgive the animation in the show itself because the animation in the original wasn't that good, and I compare it to other shoujo shonen shows, which the animation's normally pretty rough. But
Cry me a river.
My problem is that I don't agree with the style choice to all of a sudden go from 100%
computer
painted.
Computer painted, whatever they call
it. To CG rendered.
It looks really bad. I mean,
The transition is very jarring for me.
Not only is it jarring, but when you get into the transformation, it sort of has fluctuating levels of quality, I think. There's like certain, they're spinning around her with the camera, yeah. Right? And all this twirling and things, and it seems like they were able to handle certain scenes or certain sections of the sequence better than others. So there are times when I think, oh, this looks really good. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know, Knights of Sidonia type level or, you know, whatever. And then there are times when I'm like, oh, this is like the original Initial D. Like
some,
really,
some
really...
Some parts look really good and some parts look really rough. But again, I don't necessarily have a problem with CG. As we've covered, I think Knights of Sidonia looks good. I think Arpeggio, well, crappy, as we've covered.
Yeah.
The CG didn't bother me.
No, I think the CG in Arpeggio looks better than the CG in this sequence.
But it was just the fact that I just disagree with a stylistic choice to say, we're going to do this, and then all of a sudden, just for this 5 minutes, we're going to do something else.
My other thoughts on it were that I'm not really bothered by the Japanese voice. I think it's ridiculous that they can't win, right? The Japanese producers or whatever can't win because people are going to complain about the Japanese voice because it's a little bit irritating. But if they make the Japanese version of this anime and they don't use the original voice actress, then they still bitch about it.
Right.
So you can't win. There's nothing you can do about it.
I agree with that, and I think it's going to be a voice that grows on people. But
also, I think that the backgrounds look pretty. They're kind of watercolor-esque. But the background animation's bad, too. Like, they'll have shots of Sailor Moon talking to a classmate or something, and in the background, there's all these people that are clearly... they're clearly intended to be in motion.
Yeah.
Like, they're in mid-stride walking, but they're dead frozen. It's like they don't even... It's just like they don't even make an attempt to animate the things in the background that should be moving.
Well, whatever we say about the show, I just hope that everyone goes out and watches it for themselves and formulates their own opinion on it. And I do think there were good things to be seen in this show, and I think there were definitely moments when it was starting that I was like, nostalgia fangirl moment.
Yeah.
But
I'm actually not as bothered by the character designs as for example, Cram is, who hates them still, but I'm not that bothered by them.
But I think I don't want to take away from the impression we will give on it in 6 weeks. Oh, dear God.
Oh, God.
But
it's going to be the latest impression ever.
No, but it's worth mentioning.
Yeah. There was,
it is news.
There was one more thing real quick. I've been holding a poll on the front page of the website asking people how good they think the anime will be. Mm. And 34% of the votes said that the anime will probably be about a 3 out of 5. And 24% of the vote think that the anime will be about a 3.5 out of 5.
So most people think it'll just be average.
Be pretty good, a little above, slightly above average. Yeah,
I think that's fair.
Anyway, so now that we're like, you know, 10 minutes longer than usual, let's get back on track here.
Woo!
So new forum members, welcome to Danielle Thompson, Changing Otaku, Mav Synchroid, Cover Trusky, Gray of Sunshine, God King Goku, Nano's Key, Jack... TWD 4th, Red Bean, Kime, and Chiaki Spambot.
Oh. Is Chiaki Spambot a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know, but I'm going to have to go with Chiaki Spambot as my name of the week because it has my name in it, so, right?
Chiaki,
I have to.
There's like 20 names on our forum that are your name plus something random, like Chiaki Stalker or the real Chiaki or whatever it is. Anyway, okay, I'll go with God King Goku. I love Goku. Trivia. The answer for the trivia this week was Kaon. It was a picture of a Kaon character with a piece of toast hanging out of their mouth. Ironic, Sailor
Very
Moon.
Very iconic. Yeah. Moe.
And with jelly on it because the theme for the trivia right now is food. You know, you get a very vague shot of it from an anime with food, and you have to figure out what anime it was. Anyway, there were quite a few correct answers. One half, Ramna, Icy Rose, Astrophysics, Bryn Yayoi, The Count, Isno Tri, Kurodo Mind, Ayame Tan, Anime Lover MD, Gray of Sunshine, Shakespeare, Opie for Senpai, and Nano's Key. All got that one right. So that it was a fairly tough trivia question, but you guys did a nice job with that. And the winner for the week is Ayame Tan. So congratulations.
Very nicely done. I think that's a new name too. And our theme is still name the anime based off of food.
Yeah, so we're only on the second week now, so we have plenty of time to get in on the trivia, so.
It's time for an almighty anime mailbag. Anime. Anime. Anime.
Mailbag. If you would like to submit a mailbag, you can do so at our website, www.aaapodcast.com. There is a button on the top that says mailbag. Don't break our hearts. Write some mailbags. We like it.
I like getting them in my inbox.
She likes it.
I do.
Stick those letters in Chiaki's box. Do it.
In my inbox.
In her inbox.
Not my outbox.
So, yeah. Chiaki doesn't like having things stuck in her outbox, apparently. We have four mailbags today, because two of them aren't real mailbags.
No.
They're just saying hi. So the first mailbag, why don't you go ahead and read that one?
Will writes, I got a confession. I eat Lay's and popcorn with chopsticks. Ah! There were stars of people screaming terror, so that means I had to act it out. So I wonder if any of you guys do it too. Actually, it's really funny that you write this. Well, when I first got to Japan, I saw people eating like French fries. I remember it. It was French fries and they were eating them with chopsticks. I'm like, that's so dumb. Who eats French fries with chopsticks?
Don't you just want to walk up to those people and slap them?
Japanese people, what are you doing? And then by the time I was like done in Japan, I was sitting there eating my French fries with chopsticks going, this is so much easier because then I don't have to put my chopsticks down.
I want you guys to know that I never stooped so low. I mean, people in Japan don't know how to eat pizza. They barely know how to eat hamburgers. I mean, that discussion about the whole like face shielding wrapper from Burger King or whatever it was.
No, it's Freshness
from
Burger.
Freshness Burger. That thing is a different podcast topic altogether. Maybe we'll
it
talk
really
about
is.
That some
we
other
should.
Time. But the Japanese people have no idea how to eat Western food. It's hilarious.
I love it when I always saw the Japanese people get a big like cheeseburger and they're eating it with fork and knives.
Yeah, you do not eat a cheeseburger with a fork and a knife unless you're cutting it in half because it's too big. Anyway, the second mailbag is from Latent Criminal. Latent Criminal writes, I just wanted to let you know I really enjoyed the last episode where you did that Studio Bones spotlight. I wasn't aware they did such a large section of my favorite anime list, so thank you for giving me another way to pick new shows to watch. You're very welcome. I also always get a great laugh out of the hentai episodes. Well, you're very welcome there also.
Guess you should get on this.
Hey, it's not me, it's Roko, so.
I want to take over and do like a girls hentai episode.
Oh, you do?
Get Kimiko back and do like hentai girls version.
I think that would be a massive hit. It would be.
All the stuff, I can talk about my personal advice.
I'm going to run a poll in the chat about that when you read the next mailbag, but let me finish this one.
Okay.
Thank you for making my anime addiction worse. You dang enablers.
Yeah, that's what we are.
Keep up the good work. Well, thank you, Latent Criminal. That was nice. Why don't you read this next mailbag question, and I'm going to run this poll for us.
All right. This next mailbag question comes from Lord Okeanos, and they write, Hey, addicts, I was wondering, what role does the Japanese emperor play in Japan today? Is he still relevant? Or have the Japanese people forgotten about him, like the world has forgotten about every other monarch? So, I think as most people know, the Japanese government functions on a constitution, and the constitution was rewritten by America
after World War II. Right.
And under the terms of the constitution, the Emperor of Japan is basically just a symbol of the state and unity of the people, and it's a ceremonial role without any kind of actual power.
Right.
Now, that being said, I think the Emperor has an odd sense of relevance to Japan. I think among younger people, whenever I ask or I talk about the Emperor, they don't really care. It's not like it's not like the English king or the English queen or king, whenever we might have a king in the future of England. where people care about that, where it's, you know, oh, who's Prince Harry going to marry? And, you know, Kate Middleton's pregnant. Oh, and people care about that monarchy, where I feel like in Japan, you know, popular culture.
That stuff makes me physically ill.
I didn't say Mitsugi cares about this.
Mitsugi doesn't like anything.
He doesn't.
I like that voice. Anyways, so...
That's a voice that only an evil Chiaki could make. I want you to know that. Oh, my God. And the look on her face when she does it, you don't even want to see that face. You guys are so lucky you're listening on iTunes.
Well, half the people aren't. How many eyeballs are on me making that face?
Almost 100 eyeballs.
Woo! So, okay. So, anyways,
of course, like, half of them, like, just gouge their eyes out.
Oh, God, you're mean.
I'm just kidding.
Well, you know what? It's better than every week when people who decide to try out the live show take a rake to their eyeballs the second they look at you.
Oh, my God. Evil Chiaki has a mean streak.
Evil Chiaki takes no shit.
Okay. Keep going. Keep going, you sharp-tongued wench.
I'm a sharp-tongued wench. I like it.
Keep going.
Okay. Anyways, my point is that I think the younger population cares less about the emperor empress of Japan than the younger generation cares about the symbolic monarch of Britain, which is probably the closest equivalent.
Yeah, I think that's true.
But I do think that the emperor and the imperial family of Japan still does play a role. Like when Obama came and visited Japan back, now this was a while ago, it was back in 09 or 010. But when he came and visited Japan, he went and he met with the emperor. So the emperor is still, and the imperial family is still sent out on like peace missions and goodwill missions from Japan and things of that nature. But they don't really have relevancy in Japanese politics or things like that.
I did come up with a list of the detailed duties that the new Japanese constitution lays down for the emperor.
You said duty.
Yeah, I did. So these are the things that the emperor does on the behalf of the people. Promulgation of amendments of the constitution, laws, cabinet orders, and treaties. Convocation of the diet. Dissolution of the House of Representatives. Proclamation of general election of members of the diet. By the way, the diet is like the Japanese government, like Congress, I guess, sort of.
The diet is my least favorite part of the year.
Yeah. Attestation of the appointment and dismissal of ministers of state. Attestation of general and special amnesty. Honoring of awards, or rather awarding of honors, attestation of instruments of ratification and other diplomatic documents. So it's just a bunch of like political governmental things. That's pretty much all they do. Oh, and on like the emperor's birthday and on New Year's and things like that, you can go to the emperor's palace and crowds of people gather and he will come to the window and wave and do his like, you know, his hand wave thing. So okay, one more mailbag. Oh, and by the way, before we move on to this last mailbag, the result from the poll. I asked, if Chiaki did a girls' hentai episode series, would you listen to it? And 76% of respondents said, hell yes, they would. And only 3% said, probably not. So, if any company on Earth got that kind of a survey, they would be making that product immediately. So, anyway, maybe that should happen. So the last mailbag is submitted by Yukimori Shibata, and they write, hey, AAA Podcast, first of all, let me thank you on consistently providing a brilliant and hilarious podcast that helps me get through my day. My question is whether any of you have ever watched the fantastic anime Psycho Pass, and what you thought of it if you did. Thanks again, Shibata.
Sorry, Shibata.
You haven't seen it? No. I haven't watched it. I have not watched it either.
It's good. You're not the first person to say that.
I believe there is maybe a sequel of it coming out, though. They're making another season of that? Is that not correct?
It is.
Yeah? Am I accurate in that assessment?
I think so. I've heard this. I've heard a rumor.
Okay. So, sorry we can't... Yeah, there is a second season, and it's going to be airing in October. So... I guess you're going to get like an early Christmas present, Shibata. So, nice going. Anyway, so I told you guys we had sort of an extended intro for you today, and we're going to be having a good episode, so I hope that you'll be sticking with us throughout the duration of it. We're going to be talking about anime beach episodes, something we don't often do in preparation for the summer. So, most of you are out of school now.
Summertime.
Most of you are lying out at the beach or have a summer job now.
Living is easy.
You got to be in that mood, right?
These are humming and the cotton is high.
Something like that. Whatever.
It's a good song.
Anyway, so we're going to be talking about some of our favorite and least favorite beach episodes from anime. And then we're going to take another news break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to be doing a review on Wizard Baristas, and also a review on Pupa. So that's coming out of nowhere.
That's going to sneak in there.
That's going to sneak in there. So you're not going to want to miss that hot mess of a review coming up at the end. But before we go to the news break, we have a poll question. Are you planning on going to the beach this summer? That's the question. Yes, and I live near the beach. Yes, car trip. Maybe, our plans aren't laid out yet. Or nope, no Moe girls or watermelon smashing for me. So we'll be back in just a couple minutes after the news break, so stay with us.
Hail you anime addicts, this is Chiaki, and this is your anime news break. First up, for those of you who are Studio Ghibli fans and who are waiting very excitedly, just like me, for the new Ghibli film When Marnie Was There, there's something you need to YouTube. Japan's NTV television network has begun airing a trailer for the movie When Marnie Was There. It features an American theme song by Priscilla Ann called Fine on the Outside. Now, after seeing this trailer, I'm really interested in the film. For those of you who don't know already, the film is directed by Yobayashi. His first film was The Secret World of Arrietty back in 2010. In other Ghibli news, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Science has invited two of the founders of Studio Ghibli, Hayao Miyazaki and Toshio Suzuki, the producer, into its ranks. Now, this is not the first time that the Academy has invited Miyazaki. In fact, this would go down as the fourth time that Miyazaki's been invited, but he previously declined all three invitations. His last refusal was back in 2006, and producer Suzuki explained that he did not seem to be glad with the invitation because he seemed to think that it meant his retirement was near. Miyazaki thought, I want to be as active as possible, and it seems to be strong. Well, now that he's currently quote-unquote retired, maybe, from directing feature films, and Suzuki stepped down from his role this past year as producer and assuming the role of general manager, maybe this will be the time that they will accept the Academy's invitation. In other news, for those of you who are Pokemon fans out there, the national championships for the Pokemon trading card game, TCG, and video game happened this past weekend. I'm sure if you want to look up who the winners were and who took home the victory, you can find that online. Now, while you're online, bookmark a page because the Pokemon Center is coming overseas. Exclusive merchandise that was only previously available at the Pokemon Centers in Japan are now going to be available via Nintendo's Pokemon Center website. But hold your wild Googling horses because the site isn't available just yet. It's expected to launch to the public on August 6th, but you can always bookmark it early. Finally, for those of you who have always longed to go to a Japanese convention, Aniplex of America might just be the one to make your dream comes true. They've recently announced at its industry panel at Anime Expo that it will offer a chance for two people to attend the Anime Japan convention in Tokyo. The contest prize will include airfare, hotel, and tickets to the convention itself, so it's all-inclusive. More details are on Aniplex of America's website. This was Chiaki, and this was your Anime News Break.
On Otaku Spirit, we talk about the possibility of Moe using bullets instead of paintballs.
I mean, just want to see them use guns that actually kill people.
Why?
Just shoot each
why
other.
Do they have
blood
to,
everywhere.
Why do you have to see them kill each other?
Because there's no point in them shooting
it's
each other.
It's not Moe if
work.
They're killing each other.
It's not Moe unless they don't kill. Yeah, just shoot her and she falls over and you get a panty shot. Boom, Moe. Congratulations. You made a Moe show. You just gotta make sure they fall over properly when you shoot them and kill them.
I mean, Yunogasai, it was kind of Moe, I guess.
I mean, you watched...
Especially when she had that blood.
They stabbed each other in the head and it was still Moe.
No, they were just cute. And that's kind of weird, though, because I guess they would be more moe than kawaii. Hear more on otakuspirit.com.
All right, guys, we're back with the 234th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast.
Making your addiction worse.
So how was your news break, Chiaki?
It was not bad. I was putting in the new posts for this episode.
Oh, great.
That's what I do during the news
on
breaks.
On the ball. On
I
the
try.
Ball.
Well, you know, I have a really demanding producer cracking the whip.
I'm a ball buster.
Yeah. Because
so,
I have balls.
Do you want to know what the evil Chiaki apparently does? So, would you like to know what I did during the news break?
Nope, not interested.
Really?
Don't care.
You really don't care at all?
Go ahead. What did you do?
Well, I was eating a delicious food, and some would say that this food is...
sausages! Sausages!
I was eating a sausage during the news break.
You were.
How do you feel about that?
I watched you put it in your mouth.
I did, and I ate it in front of you, and I know that you were hungry, but... You can't feed gremlins after midnight, and you are a gremlin.
It's okay. I don't eat sausages.
You also can't get gremlins wet, so it's a good thing that evil Chiaki never takes a shower.
I feast on innocent souls.
Filthy beast. Anyway, I'm gonna have to get a whole group of clerics in here to purge this soul. It's so filthy.
What?
Anyway.
I just said I was from your own hell sphere.
So we're talking about beach episodes.
I had a really good idea.
Okay, what is it?
I think...
yeah?
We should call up Kimiko.
Yeah?
And be like, yo, sup, Kimiko. Just like that.
You could do that.
I know. Yeah, I could.
If Kimiko's online and she answers the phone, I will pull the... hook up the cables and we will patch Kimiko into the podcast.
Well, I was meaning more in general. Not this exact second, but in general. We should call up and be like, yo, Kimiko, it's summertime. Let's go to the beach, and we should have an AAA podcast beach episode, and we'll tell everybody what beach we're going to.
Oh, really?
And we can go play volleyball and throw a football, and maybe there'll be girls at the beach, and we should have an official AAA podcast beach episode. And if listeners can and want to show up, they're welcome.
Well, if anybody's interested in that event, you can send me a message on the forum or something, and we'll see.
Or a mailbag.
Yeah, or a mailbag.
Because it gets to me.
So the poll that was running during the news break was about beach episodes and how people felt about them. And we have a tie with 33% of the vote. The result was nope. No mo. Oh, sorry. The question was, are you going to the beach? Oh. I'm sorry. So the 33% of people are saying nope, they're not going to the beach. And 33% also say maybe. So... Not a extraordinarily useful or interesting result from that poll, but
the only thing
good
is,
to have nonetheless.
I feel like I'd disappoint everybody if we had a beach episode because I have I normally wear a really cute bikini.
Yeah.
And then I wear a cover on top because I burn really easy.
Because you're pasty.
And I carry a big umbrella with me and sit with my umbrella and a book, and that's my favorite beach episode for myself.
So Chiaki is Polish and she's blonde and very fair skinned and she burns very easily.
You've seen me Lobster Town.
All you have to do is go outside for 10 seconds, so it's a good thing you just sit in front of your computer all day and not doing anything. Just kidding. Anyway,
I'm so unproductive.
Chiaki's that anime character in shows that sits under the umbrella with her sunglasses on and just looks at the other people and are like, you sniveling worms, you lower self beings.
But that does mean that there's lots of opportunities to rub lotion.
You hear that? see, if I was a podcast listener, that would be enough of a reason to sign up for the beach episode. If you're Mitsugi, you're running around burying people in sand and stuff. That's what I do.
Yeah. I like to build sandcastles.
Yeah. Anyway, so why don't we talk about some anime animes that have beach episodes. I can't talk. So, here's a really terrible one. Another, that horror anime that came out 2 years ago.
Wait, a horror anime has a beach
episode?
It did. Why?
Well, this anime, it was really, really out of place. This is one of the worst beach episodes I've seen in anime, so I thought I would just kick it off with a, you know, a real winner.
Oh.
Well, everybody in this anime is terrified, and they're all really, like, depressed, just, you know, not very fun people to be around, because random kids from their class are dying in horrible ways, and you don't know who's going to be next, right? So why not just go to the beach, right? So you have all these people that are just miserable with their lives, and they're just, like, moping around at the beach. Terrible beach episode. And it's so awful and awkward to watch them try to make these characters have fun.
I just got a shiver.
It'd be like, take an entire cast of anime characters that were, like, the purple-haired girl from Haruhi Suzumiya is. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
She's, like, the robot girl. Take an entire cast of characters with her personality, stick them on the beach. It's terrible. They're trying to, like, calculate how many grains of sand there are on the beach instead of having fun. Except in this beach episode, of course, someone has to die because people die every episode in this anime. And I think one of the kids gets run over by a boat.
Oh, my God.
Or eaten by a shark or something. He dies in the ocean. I know that. And it's very bloody. So, I was looking up online beach episodes that are in anime, and this TVTropes.org is a good website for this kind of stuff, right?
Mm.
They had over 120 animes listed that had beach episodes.
You know, that's the thing that I just... Is there something equivalent in Western media to the beach episode / hot springs episode in Japanese animation? Like, what is it that in Western media we feel like we have to have this episode? Because I feel like in anime, like...
You mean Eastern media?
Western media.
Well, no.
In media from America.
We don't have beach episodes in America.
I know, but what I'm saying is, do we have an equivalent? Because I feel like there's this need in anime where it's just, have we had our obligatory beach / hot springs episode? And I'm trying to think in Western media what it would be the equivalent of.
That's a good question. I'm not really exactly sure if there's an example that's
because
that prolific.
Because we don't really do the beach episode. I mean, yeah, well... Maybe if a show runs long enough, the characters end up at the beach. But
if Las Vegas held a poll, in fact, this would be a fun podcast topic for the future.
Uh huh.
It's a poll about the odds of something happening in a given anime. So if you were to have a Las Vegas poll about whether or not there was a beach episode in the anime, I would give you about 5-1 odds on a given podcast. I mean, on a given anime.
Yeah,
that's pretty good odds. I mean, there's animes out there that you would think would never have beach episodes. Like Berserk.
Yeah.
It's a pseudo beach episode in Berserk, even.
People in the chat are suggesting we had bar episode, which I'm going to kind of throw out because bars are just a part of culture and less of a part of... And my distinction is that the characters in these anime that end up at the beach, they just end up there, like another. There's no reason why those characters should be at the beach, but they're at the beach for an episode.
It's not part of the story, really.
Where if you have a drama with adults and they end up at a bar, that sounds normal. A Ustreamer also suggested a Christmas episode. I could see that. Christmas, Halloween, if the show's running in the fall. There's a pretty obligatory Christmas episode.
Yeah,
like
The Simpsons or a Family Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty usual.
But I feel like if it's running any other time of the year... You don't see the Christmas episode. And in anime, it seems like no matter what season it is, you get the beach episode.
Exactly.
Or the hot springs.
And the thing is that, like, in Japan, beaches aren't even a part of people's lives. Beaches aren't cultural. Japan isn't known for its beaches.
Unless you're in Okinawa.
They don't have good beaches in mainland Japan, at least. I mean, you're talking the Pacific Ocean, usually the coastlines or major cities, and the water's freezing cold.
Yeah,
it's freezing cold. I mean, like wetsuit territory. You're not going to get into that water. The only place in Japan where you're going to be doing beach stuff is maybe Kyushu and Okinawa.
Yeah,
and most anime don't take place in Okinawa. So, anyway, moving on from that one, there was a
now one that I have that I want to mention.
All right.
That kind of goes along with what I was saying. Normally, beach episodes are just kind of injected out of nowhere. You have these cast of characters and they're going along and then it's, oh, we're at a beach today.
Yeah, sometimes they work it in there a little bit, but...
But a show that did a really good example of a beach episode for me was Tari Tari. And Tari
again. You love that show. Must be really great.
It is really great. Get off my nuts.
Evil Chiaki. Someone, good Lord, someone get a muzzle.
Oh, I'd like that.
I have no comment.
So anyways, Tari, we have on episode 4, it was kind of the quintessential beach episode. Characters ended up in swimsuits and bikinis and things like that. But what I praised Tari for is it was just part of the story. It didn't feel like a beach episode. They're in a coastal town. The beach is part of their town. It's toward the summertime. They meet a famous musicians on the beach. And they do give a performance that's a little bit off the beach, but it's still part of the show. And what I like about this beach episode is that it's a good example of how you can have a beach episode without it being overly fan servicey, despite even the characters being in bikinis, and still progress the overall plot. And I think that is probably one of the best examples of a beach episode that I've ever seen.
It doesn't happen often in anime, but there are some shows that do have reasonable beach episodes. I heard some people discussing Ishukan Friends, One Week Friends, the recent anime that came out, and there's apparently some pretty meaningful episodes in that anime that take place at the beach or have to do with the beach, so it can happen. Someone in the chat was talking about Squid Girl?
Yeah.
Ika Musume. I think that anime, I guess, takes place a lot at the beach. Tsuitama, that fishing anime that came out a couple years ago, was mostly at the beach. But then there are shows like Bebop. There's like that pseudo episode in Bebop where Faye spends like the whole episode suntanning out on the ship.
Wasn't it not actually a beach? Wasn't that mushroom hunting?
It might have been. I think it was no. I think it was in the episode where Jet goes off the ship and he meets like somebody from his past, and Faye's like, I don't want to deal with any bullshit, so she just like lays out in her bikini. But that seems to happen a lot in Bebop.
You know how I feel about that? I feel about that in Bebop the same way I felt about episode 12 of Gurren Lagann. In episode 12 of Gurren Lagann, the Daiguren basically breaks down and it needs some repairs. But don't worry, it's cool. Because it needed the repairs, but where it just so happened to break down was right next to a vast ocean the cast just discovered. What's
this ocean doing here?
So
where did this come from?
There are like plot things brewing in the background, but don't worry, because we're focusing on more important things, such as Yoko's giant boobies and how she's feeling uneasy about the attention that Nia is getting.
I'm not one of those guys that fawns over Yoko from Gurren Lagann. I know she gets a lot of attention, but I'm just not one of those guys.
She has two traits that really give her a lot of attention.
I don't like her hair color. It throws me off. That like bright Ronald McDonald red. How else can I describe it?
Someone go out and write a fan fiction, please, that Yoko is Ronald McDonald's like rebellious little sister, and she goes out wearing her bikini top and hot pants and shooting things, and Ronald McDonald's just like, you need to come back to the family and wear clown clothes.
Oh God.
Oh my God. Please make this happen. If someone writes that, please send me a link.
There was a talking about another terrible beach episode, because let's face it, there's a lot more of those than there are good ones.
Oh, yes.
There was a very, very abrasive, difficult-to-watch episode in one of the later OVAs of Higurashi. Chiaki's raising her hand. Yes? You have a question for the teacher?
Outlaw Messenger in the chat said, those are symbolic giant boobies. They represent mankind's desire for something better. I challenge you, good sir.
Uh-oh.
What boobies don't represent mankind's desire for something better? Let it sink in.
I'll let that sink in. Thank you for that. Thank you. I'll always leave it up to Chiaki to turn boobs into something that's, thought-provoking.
No, Ala Mazinger helped me out with that.
It was an assist, but you're the one that scored the 2 points.
Oh.
So, Higurashi no Naku Koto ni Rei, the OVA, 5-episode OVA, came out. Right after you've got a, generally speaking, pretty tense, engaging second season of Higurashi, and what is generally the content that comes before this OVA is pretty good stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're watching when you're watching Rey, you expect this OVA series to be pretty good as well. But they start this shit off with a water park episode. A water park episode. Now, for those of you that watched the original Higurashi, and you saw those first two episodes where all they do is play dumbass, like, card game bullcrap.
Yes.
That keeps sneaking its way back into that anime's first season, you know, now and again. They do away with most of that bullshit in the second season, thankfully, but you know, they just couldn't resist getting back to it a little bit in the OVA's first episode. So you have ridiculous things happening, like, well, they have like swimming races and people trying to like hit on each other and water slides and bikinis and infinite minutes of discussion about swimsuits, and it's pretty unbearable.
I'm so not interested in like young children in swimsuits.
Somebody is. In Japan, you know someone's interested when they're just now passing child pornography laws.
Kimoi
for sure. It really makes you question why it is that there are so many beach episodes found in anime. And I think that there's a couple of possible explanations for this, and maybe you can agree or disagree with it.
Mm-hmm.
Either one, they're trying to fill airtime in the season because there's not enough. There's not enough meat in the narrative to you know, last full 12 episodes, which, let's face it, a lot of animes today need some fluff because there's not... that the narrative just can't carry it for a full season. Or two, maybe there's some kind of, like, nostalgic longing for your childhood bullcrap going on here that happens in anime. How do you feel about that?
Maybe.
I mean, we all know that, like, when you enter the workforce in Japan, they basically crush your soul and pull it out and, like, you know, slam it against the walls and, like... you know, run it over with the car and then stuff it back in, like, awkwardly where it doesn't quite fit right anymore. So, of course, you're gonna long for your childhood and for things that, you know, you did when you were younger. So maybe they're doing it for the older people.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, I sort of wonder if it's for the older people or for the younger people, but I don't know. Somebody should go interview the anime studios in Japan and find out why it is that they put beach episodes in anime so frequently, because it's in all kinds of shows. It's even in Hajime no Ippo. There's a beach.
Really?
Now, granted, it's mostly used for comedy in Ippo, right? Which, you know, but Ippo is so long. It's like 75 episodes the first season. Mm-hmm. But they eventually use it as a way to train. You know, they're using running in sand as a way to train their stamina or whatever.
Okay, running in sand is difficult.
But it's still a bullshit episode. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be clear about that. Running in sand is difficult, but it's still bullshit. Do you have any other great examples of beach episodes in anime?
Well, one that came to mind was one we talked about relatively recently, and that was the gem known as Arpeggio of Blue Steel.
Yeah, there was like three beach episodes in that anime, or
there
two.
There was, but the one that I'm thinking of comes in episode 8, when they're surrounded by the enemy, so they do the only thing that would... that's the natural course of action.
Take your clothes off.
Take your clothes off, wear a bikini, and have a barbecue on the beach, and invite said enemy.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
I mean, if somebody was trying to kill me, right? Just, you know, end my life. Mm. The first thing I would want to do is put myself in an incredibly helpless situation where I have no self-defense at all and invite them to join me.
I think that's really what Kim Jong-un needs.
Oh, God. Where is this going? Because we've never talked about North Korea before on this podcast.
Yes, we have.
Probably not.
Probably.
Okay, does that have a point to it?
No, I'm just going to say that everyone's happier at the beach with a barbecue. Maybe he just didn't get invited to a beach with a barbecue. Like, Britain was there, America was there, France came too. Maybe even South Korea got invited, or Japan.
We're talking about a man who eats dinner with Dennis Rodman. I'm pretty sure he can get any kind of luxury he wants in North Korea. He may be the only person enjoying said luxury, but he's got it.
But maybe he wanted to get invited to that party. And maybe all the other countries... maybe his invitation got lost in the mail.
Massive Banana Lodge says that now North Korea is going to nuke us. They're going to declare war on the United States because of this podcast.
No, I think that already happened because of that movie that was coming out. What was that? What's that name of that movie?
Oh, 22... No, not 22 Jump Street. I can't remember.
I can't either, but...
who cares? Some crappy comedy movie.
Who cares?
I'm pretty sure the entire first season of K-On! Was a beach episode.
Did it all blur together to you?
No, in all honesty, I think that there were a whopping maybe 2 beach episodes in the first 12 episodes of K-On.
Oh.
I mean, you have it's ridiculous, right? So you have a 12 episode season, mm-hmm. and you're going to go to the beach, and then you're going to go away from the beach and then come back later. I mean, come on. I mean, you're really dragging your feet at that point trying to get through that season.
We escaped the beach. Let's go back. Anyways, other ones. Oh, Rosario plus Vampire has a beach episode. And that was awful. Who made me watch that? Who requested? I think that was Barefoot.
Might have been. Is in Rosario plus Vampire, all that I can remember about that is some boy trying to get laid but doesn't know how to approach the girl, even though she really wants to.
That's normal. Episode 9 is the beach episode, and it's summer vacation, so the characters go to the beach, and there's a random monster, but it's awful. All of that show is awful, but it's awful.
There are some anime that do beach episodes pretty well. We already mentioned one, Tari Tari, and also Ishukan Friends, supposedly, even though I haven't watched that. Also, Azumanga Daioh does a pretty good beach episode. Hmm. They're pretty much just upfront about, you know, the fact that it's a beach episode in an anime, and the comedy that they deliver with it is pretty spot on. So, like, for example, Mishukari is the one that the teacher is the one that drives him to the beach because she's the only one who has a driver's license, but she's a terrifying teacher, and they make a huge joke out of what a nightmare and how terrifying it is to drive with her to the beach. And of course, when you've got characters like Miss Sakaki and Chiyo and Osaka and, you know, the whole gang of Azumanga Daioh, they make a pretty good beach episode out of that show. And it is a gag comedy show, basically, but a 26 episode series, they could have had a whole lot more than one beach episode in there, and it was done pretty well.
I kind of forgive it a little more too when it's a gag comedy, because it's just,
yeah, I mean,
here's a setting for a gag comedy, here's another setting for a gag comedy.
Not only that, Azumanga Daioh is a show that kind of goes through the semesters of high school or whatever they're in with the girls, mm-hmm. and so of course they're gonna have a section of the anime where they hit summer break, right. So there's so many anime where they talk about, what are you going to do on summer break? Well, I don't know. What are you going to do? And so they go to the beach together. So that's part of how they represent the summertime. The transition from the spring semester to the fall semester is that beach episode. So also, Haruhi Suzumiya does a pretty good beach episode.
Did they? That's one that I watched, but I watched it forever ago.
Now, me too, but I think it's sort of a pseudo-beach episode, because if I recall, there's like a 2-episode mini-arc in there where they kind of take like an island vacation to, and then it turns into like a murder mystery whodunit type of spin-off.
I remember something like that going on.
And it ends up being Haruhi Suzumiya, like she's just bored or whatever, so.
And she's, well, I won't spoil it.
Yeah, I mean, even though it's so old by now.
Yeah, right?
But I thought that was done pretty well also. I mean, they're not actually spending time at the beach in those episodes, to my recollection, and they turn it into a pretty amusing, you know, little segment.
I mean, the difference between a good beach episode and a bad beach episode is a good beach episode, the characters have a general reason to be there, and the plot of the anime being progressed forward isn't lost for the sake of, let's put them in bikinis. So,
but there are a lot of anime that are like that.
There are, indeed.
Some other anime that have beach episodes that I haven't really seen. There's so many of these. Chobits apparently has something going on that's related to the beach, even though I haven't seen Chobits in so long that I can't recall.
Even anime you wouldn't expect. I mean, this beach thing goes way far back. Martian Successor Nadesco has a beach episode.
I can't recall. Do you?
It's episode 10, and they're sent to investigate this giant like tulip on a tropical island. So they're like,
did you say tulip?
Tulip.
What the hell is a tulip?
Something from the show. And so it's beach time. Yay, beach time. And so Akito runs into the girls of his dreams, but the episode is called The Problems with Femininity. So, you know, there's problems.
There's beach episodes in Full Metal Panic. There's beach episodes in Free. Can you believe it?
Oh, shocker.
Anime about swimming has a beach episode. There's a very long, long arc in Great Teacher Onizuka that takes place at the beach.
And that's what she said.
Okay. There's a There are a lot of important events that happen during that arc, and I can't go through them all right now, but some of them involve, you know, the last few of the students that haven't come around to Onizuka to see Onizuka's side of things sort of, you know, start to come around. A lot of really great comedy, probably one of the weaker arcs of the series for sure is the beach arc. It's probably about 7 episodes. It's a longer show, but it's a 6 or 7 episodes probably. Hamtaro has one.
Hamtaro?
Yep. Hayate, wow. The Combat Butler, High School of the Dead. I'm just going through what TV Tropes has here. There's a whole bunch of these. Kimogure Orange Road, that's an old show. Kimi ni Todoke, you recall from that?
I don't recall a beach episode, but I don't recall anything being super offensive, which makes me think that if there was one, it wasn't gouge my eyes out, why are you doing this, Kimi ni Todoke?
Kaim so. Arc Blade says Myosin Ikkoku had one and has 1 or 2 beach episodes as well. I believe that. That's a long show. Love Hina has 2 beach episodes.
Unsurprisingly,
right? Mahou Shoujo Lyric Wananaha has apparently some kind of beach content in it. My Hime.
Does Utena have a beach episode?
I don't know. Do you want to know what doesn't have a beach episode?
What?
Naruto.
Really?
According to this, Naruto does not yet have a beach episode.
I think Bleach does.
It might. I think that One Piece has more than a few beach episodes. Outlaw Star has that Hot Springs episode that pretty much doubles as a beach episode, I think, where the crew of the ship visits an entire planet that has basically been turned into a resort. The entire planet is a giant resort, and they use that whole episode as an excuse to have Gene Starwind and Jim Hawking try to peep on Melfina and Suzuka and Aisha.
I want a girl. I want a girl to be interested in me. What do girls like? Creepers and stalkers who look at them when they change. Well, girls like that.
Well, the weird thing is that right off the bat in Outlaw Star, Gene Starwin is banging prostitutes and stuff. That happens right in the beginning of the anime. They cut it out for Cartoon Network, but for those of you that didn't see the uncut version, let me blow your mind by telling you that Gene Starwin bangs prostitutes in that anime in the beginning. So you would think a dude that's like clearly hooking up with girls or whatever, and she might not even be a prostitute, but he's definitely hooking up with a girl and they're naked in bed together, you would think he wouldn't be freaking out so much about seeing Melfina naked.
I mean,
am I right or am I wrong? I mean, give me a break here.
I don't know, you're a man. Have you seen girly parts with your eyeballs?
I have seen girly parts.
So
I would not freak out if the girl was at a hot spring.
Yeah, I mean,
it's ridiculous.
You've been to hot springs. Have you had the urge to peep?
No, I haven't. In fact, they make it pretty much impossible.
Well,
Psychic
yeah.
Academy, Raza Fawns, episode 8 is set up as a beach episode. Saber Marionette J, Sailor Moon.
Well, of course Sailor Moon would.
School Rumble has some beach stuff going on. Star Driver has one.
In other words, every anime that ever was has a beach episode.
Kaim Arcblade from the chat again says, hell, even Star Trek The Next Generation had a beach episode.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
In a way.
Apparently, Madoka Magica did not have one. Neither did Ghost in the Shell. Ghost in the Shell takes place in, like, the city the entire time, so.
Well, Ghost in the Shell, the movie, does have her naked right off the bat.
So, you have any more contributions to make to this?
I do not.
I thought that Evangelion had a beach episode somewhere in there, but you know, I could be mistaken.
That is not a show I've seen all the way through, so.
Yeah, you've said that before. So, yeah, I mean, I generally think that an anime beach episodes are pretty terrible. I mean, if you do have a strong narrative running and you go and you cut away to have some random beach episode, you're pulling the audience away from the main story, which all that does is distract them from what they should be paying attention to and probably helps them probably either makes them more disinterested having that gap in time or makes them forget key events that had already happened that they should be remembering.
Yeah.
So that's just terrible. I mean, I honestly would rather have a show end 2 weeks early than have them cram some random crap in it.
Have them
cram
it?
Cram's not here to absorb that joke. Sorry.
Now I made myself sad.
Right about now, it's about, it's like 11:30 a.m. in Japan, and Cram is probably taking his exam right now. Cram's taking his exam. How do you like that?
cramming the exam.
Cram for that exam, cram. So, yeah, I would honestly rather they just cut them out entirely. And that goes for beach episodes, hot springs episodes, festival episodes, both like festivals at a shrine and at schools. Just cut all that crap out because it's all worthless, generally speaking.
I think unless, and this goes with just anything and everything, unless it's contributing something to the movement of the plot, there's no point in it. So,
what I will say is that it is summertime, and I think that I hope that the people that are listening to our podcast all have enough time this summer to go out and do something fun. I know we have a very large demographic from all kinds of different places in the world, but whether you're a kid or an adult, I hope that you find time to either go to the beach and have some fun, or just relax if you want to, you know, take some time off,
or make a snowman.
Make a snowman out of,
for those of us in the southern hemisphere.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We do have a bunch of listeners in Australia. Is it really Australia's summer and winter time in the summer for us?
Do you want to build a snowman?
No, I don't. I don't want to build it.
Let's go and play.
Okay, and on that note, nothing will get me to go to the news break quicker than that. So we're gonna head out to the news break a little bit early. Sort of a short topic, but not, you know.
It's a beach episode. It's filler.
it's filler. What do you know? Look at that. We did it too. So we're going to take this news break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about two anime for you. We're going to do Pupa, which is Pupi, and we're going to be doing Wizard Baristas. So stay tuned because...
I like that one, Mitsugi.
It might be fun.
You get a gold star for that.
Oh, thank you. Don't touch me. I do not need to be touched by the filth that is Evil Chiaki. Don't even touch me. Okay, so the poll question is, how do you feel about beach episodes in anime? Either A, I think they're great, T and A all the way. B, they're okay sometimes, I like the beach. C, I'm ambivalent, don't care either way. Or D, they're generally terrible and weaken the narrative. So, stay tuned, and we'll be back.
Hello, you anime addicts, this is Chiaki, and this is your anime news break. First up, the American convention season is in full swing, and this past weekend has been the convention Anime Expo. Now, if you're like me and you haven't been able to attend the convention, there's a bunch of news that have come out through industry panels, including news from North American publisher Dark Horse Comics. They announced that they have licensed Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt, manga by Targo, and The Art of Satoshi Kon book. The company will also resume its release of the Kurosagi Corpse Delivery Service by Eiji Otsuka and Hosui Yamazaki after a two-year hiatus. So if you're a fan of Panty and Stocking with Garter Belts, the Kurosagi Corpse Delivery Service, or if you're a fan of the late Satoshi Kon, Dark Horse Comics may be the one for you. In other news, for those of you who are fans of Mecha, you may be following the live-action Pat Labor project. In the next episode 6, Studio Ghibli's co-founder Toshio Suzuki will be making a cameo. He's going to appear as a Nepusha agent and will produce a music video for the song that will summon the episode Sea Monster. Now, a bit of a fun fact, Nepusha literally means hot wind company in Japanese. And while Ghibli was originally the Libyan term for hot wind blowing across the Sahara. So it looks like Toshio Suzuki is often associated with a lot of hot air. In other news, if you're wondering where you can keep up with streaming for this next anime season, well, anime distributors are announcing their streaming services. The site Daisuke has recently announced that it will be streaming Black Butler, Book of Circus, and Sword Art Online 2 television anime series as they air in Japan. The Book of Circus will premiere on July 11th with a new episode every Friday, and Sword Art Online 2 will premiere on July 6th with a new episode every Sunday. Now for those of you who are like me and enjoyed Kyoto Animation's Kyokai no Kanata, or Beyond the Boundary,
they have recently announced on their official website that the series will be getting an anime film in the spring of 2015. The 7th Blu-ray disc volume of the television series also made the same announcement when it shipped this past week. And finally, for those of you who are fans out there of the bishy anime Uta no Prince-sama, well, Movic has got your back, or rather, your pouch. Each pouch is inspired by the costumes worn by the boys of Starish in the pre-SP game and, well, anime Uta no Prince-sama debut. There's 11 designs in all that you can choose from, and, well, they look pretty cool and retail for a reasonable 2,000 yen, about $20 US, and will release July 10th and July 24th, depending on which pouch you want. This was Chiaki, and this was your Anime News Break. Don't go anywhere, because we'll be back to the show soon. Story time with Cram.
And yes, we are now presently in Cram's house.
That's right.
So
we are in the murder room. Actually.
Yes, yeah. This is the murder room.
Would you like to tell? You have to tell the story now.
I've told it on the podcast before, but I guess it was back in 2006, December of 2006. Someone was murdered in this house. The people that were living here, the son was taking care of his mother, and she was very ill, as I understand it. And I guess he wanted to put her out of her misery, so he took a pillow and asphyxiated her.
Right here.
Right where we're
same
doing
to
this.
Tatami?
Right here. Yeah, same to Tatami. Well, no, they changed the Tatami.
Oh, they changed the
so
Tatami.
We
oh,
are, so you mean to tell me that we're actually broadcasting right now in the exact maybe square meter where a person was smothered to death?
Yeah.
Wow.
We're also underneath my bedroom where a man died of an illness.
Wow.
The father.
Nobody will ever want to spend the night at Cram's house. Back to the podcast.
All right, and we're back to the podcast.
We are. We had another host join us.
We did. So on top of the podcast table right now, sitting right in front of the camera, is an orange cat. His name is Kilogram. So, up, and he's gone. Bye-bye.
Kilogram is done with us.
He contributed not a word or a meow to the podcast.
Nope. But he didn't knock over the camera. Small victories.
Anyway, so we're very divided on the poll result once again. With 34% of the vote, the chat is ambivalent about beach episodes. They don't care one way or the other. And then 28 and 27% say they're either generally terrible or okay. So.
Well, you know, it takes all shapes and sizes.
Yeah. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. So we don't discriminate, you know, between opinions on this podcast. So the first review I'm going to do is on Pupa. Let's start it off with a bang.
So,
Oni-chan. So, Pupa is an anime that came out in January of this year. It's a show that was produced by Studio Deen. It's directed by Tomomi Michizuki, who has done some other work. But, let's see, what has he done? He was the director for Dirty Pair Flash 2. Here is Greenwood, House of Five Leaves, which I think you watched that. Did you not watch that?
I did watch House of Five Leaves. It was incredibly mediocre.
Was it?
Yeah.
He directed Princess Nine, which is a baseball anime. He did some of Ramna One Half. He's done some stuff. I mean, he's, you know, not overly renowned but not unknown also. Pupa is a show that is not for everybody.
So Baka is Dumb had a good question in the chat. Baka is Dumb points out, I thought you guys dropped this during the impression stage. And yes and no. One of the things with the new system is that because we can only cover as part of the new system what we hope to be the 8 best anime of the season and then our listener's choice, those are the anime we guarantee we will cover. However, that does not mean we don't watch extra anime on our own time if we have that time and the dedication. And so
Mostly the dedication.
Well, and the time. So
for example, right now I'm watching, I have several reviews that are in my backlog, and right now I am watching Haikyuu, for example, from the current season.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped Haikyuu, but I'm still watching it, for example.
Hmm.
So anyway, Pupa is a show that is not for everybody, and that's maybe putting it lightly. It's about a pair of siblings after growing up with an abusive father. Utsutsu is highly protective of his younger sister, whose name is Yume, which means dream, by the way. One day, Yume sees a red butterfly and contracts the strange pupa virus, which she begins to sprout grotesque wings, and basically she turns into, like, the fly from the old Jeff Goldblum movie.
Yeah.
And she proceeds to eat her brother.
But her brother is still alive because he's kind of like the Wolverine, minus the adamantium and the claws.
So he has the virus too, right? That's my understanding, because this anime makes no sense at all. They do gigantic time jumps between episodes.
And the episodes are only, I don't know if you mentioned, but they're only, what, 3 5-minute episodes?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So basically, her problem is that she's this monster, even though she's basically depicted as a little girl, as a young girl. She's maybe 12 for most of the anime. She's mm-hmm. she's only depicted as like a monstrous, like, fly monster for that first couple episodes. She has, like, this insatiable hunger where she's just, like, in agony, and she has to eat all the time, and she's hungry for people. That's what she eats. And her brother, his power is that he's basically an immortal almost, and he has this amazing regenerative ability. So he figures, rather than make his sister kill innocent people, he'd rather show his love for his sister by letting his little sister eat him, which she does nearly every episode. Yeah, well, you're going to hear that a lot if you watch this anime.
Delicious.
Mmm. Oni-chan. Oh, your baby back ribs are so delicious, Oni-chan. Mmm. Give me those baby back ribs. So, I would say probably 15% of this anime's runtime is spent watching her chew up pieces of her little sister's or her little brother's body.
And you can kind of hear it in that little clip that Mitsugi just played.
Would you like me to play it again?
Sure.
You can hear him like making whimpering noises because she's taking bites out of him.
Well, what I was going to say too is the one thing that I will say this is impressive for this anime is the Foley was really good. The sound effects.
It's grotesque.
The sound effects when she's eating him are really, really gross and horrible sounding.
So the chat is very unhappy with me as they tell me to stop or that they're leaving the show for the night, things like that. So, yes, Pupa is a 4-minute-per-episode anime, and that includes the opening and the closing. Yes, they had an opening and a closing in every episode. I would say, all told, the whole show's length was probably 3 minutes per episode. And since there's 12 episodes, you can watch this whole anime in about 35 to 40 minutes.
Yeah, about that.
So they take gigantic time jumps in the show. I mean, they'll be doing a scene where they'll have captured some, like, I can't remember. They put either the brother or the sister in, like, prison in this research facility. And in the next episode, bam, they're breaking out. Like, there's no connection at all between these episodes. It's pretty obvious that this show was probably had grander goals in mind. But when people realized how grotesque and horrible the show was going to be, that they knew that they wouldn't have much of an audience for it, and so they slashed the budget really hard.
Which I have to say, it's almost a shame.
I think so. Because I know that people were pretty excited about the show's manga.
Yeah.
The manga, I guess, is also pretty grotesque, but it is relatively known in the community, and when people saw that Pupa might be made into an anime, there was some excitement. But I don't think anybody wanted it to be represented the way that it was. For example, no one seems to like this anime. As I go on another anime website that reviews shows, this show is in the bottom 20 out of all animes ever reviewed on this website.
Wow.
That's pretty bad considering there's over 4,000 shows reviewed on here. But the bottom 20. And it's down there with Geist. Down there with Geist.
Damn.
And I would say that Geist at least has coherency throughout its span.
He's the most dangerous.
I mean, there were probably 3 episodes where they spent the whole time with the brother on his stomach with her just chewing up pieces of his back.
Yep.
Literally, that was what the anime was. And I honestly couldn't even piece together the story of the story for you, because the way that it's represented is as if you basically just read random 5 or 10 page chunks out of the manga, and that was, you know, how it was supposed to be portrayed, because there was simply no budget for it.
Yeah.
Icy Rose in the chat says that the cannibalism incest was the nail in the coffin. Yeah, I'll get to that now. I think that the actual eating of the brother, their interaction as siblings, was definitely sexual.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's half naked, she's half naked, whatever, when they do this, but they'll be like lying in bed, and it's portrayed in a manner that appears to be very sexual. Now, they don't show them kissing or having sex or doing anything like that, but I think it's fairly implied.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And Merrick Ishtar from the chat says that it's a well-known stereotype that 3-minute episode animes suck. I agree.
Yeah.
We've done probably 15 of them on this podcast so far.
It's just so hard to have a good story in 3 minutes. I think the best 3-minute episode anime that I've ever watched was the Yama no Musume, something like that. The Mountain Girl anime. And that was probably the best that I've ever seen. And that's about it. And that's not even saying that much, really. But
there's a review here online that I think summarizes this anime pretty well. They said, "Fans of the manga will be disappointed with this mess of an adaptation, while anime viewers will be utterly confused. I cannot come up with any good explanation myself other than that this is the worst anime that I have ever seen." Now, I don't know if it's the worst anime I've ever seen, but it's probably down there, mostly because of its incoherency.
Yeah.
I think that the music, other than the closing theme, I can't remember any music from the show at all. And honestly, I can't recall there being any good animation quality. I mean, obviously, the fact that it's had a slash budget is representative of the fact that the budget was small to begin with. Really can't spend too much time on Pupa because it's just not that good.
Well, not to mention, it's also, as you said, you can watch it in 30 or 40 minutes, so there's a point where it's just, go watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of disappointing. I was excited for it before it came out, and when I saw that it was going to be three-minute episodes, I knew that it was going to be bad right away.
Yeah.
So, I know you didn't watch all this anime, Chiaki, but so I'll just give it a score. I'm gonna give it a 1. It's it's pretty terrible. Don't even gasp. You know what? Screw it. I'm giving it a 4.
A 4? 4 out of 5?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm gonna give it 4 meals. 4 my brother happy meals out of 5.
All right. Yeah. My brother happy meals.
And by 4, I mean 4 divided by what? What is the math here? 4 divided by 4? Yeah. One. I'll have 1 My Brother Happy Meals to go, please. Hold the pickles.
All right.
Anyway, so this section of anime that I'm going to do today is Wizard Baristers Benmashi Sesuru. And this is a show that came out also in January of 2014. And it's directed by a pretty well-known director, which is why I picked this thing up. I was the one that passed with Wizard Baristers when the season started. Because the director is pretty well known. Chuck, do you know who the director is?
I don't know who the director is, but I know he did Kite. I forgot his name.
He did Kite. His name is Umetsu.
Mm.
Umetsu did Kite. He's done Mezzo, which is another fairly good action anime. It's not the best, but it's not bad either. He did a show that I've never seen this, but it's called Galilei Donna. I haven't seen that, but, you know. And I was kind of hoping that when we watched that for this Wizard Baristers, that we would be getting sort of a Kite or Mezzo level, you know, action anime. You know, Umetsu's been around the block. He seems to know what he's doing. Most of his anime that he puts out tend to have some kind of a pornographic spinoff to them.
Yeah,
Or a director's cut that is incredibly pornographic, so this guy's, you know, sort of a naughty boy, I guess.
So I have a question about the show.
Oh, go ahead.
With the title, do they, like, work at Starbucks and make drinks the whole time?
Wizard baristas?
Yeah.
Actually, they make wizard potions.
Oh, so they're kind of like baristas.
Yeah. And you can order a wizard barista frappuccino with extra sprinkles, you know, for $5.
Excellent.
Actually, a barista is a lawyer entitled to practice as an advocate, particularly in the higher courts.
Oh.
So a barista is a lawyer. So, like, what the hell, a lawyer?
You
like your idea better?
My idea better.
So, Wizard Baristas is produced by Studio Arms. Mm. And Studio Arms has done quite a lot of things, so I'm not going to bother going through all their shows.
It looks very pretty.
It certainly looks a hell of a lot better than Pupa, put it like that. The story is about, it's in 2018, which is not too far in the future now, humans and wizards live together in Tokyo, and police continue to protect order in society, but wizards are tried according to magical law. Mm. So you have people, and then you have wizards, and they're both tried. When they commit crimes, they're tried in different courts. Got it?
Kind of makes sense.
Which is why maybe you have baristas, lawyers, and you have wizard baristas, which are like wizard lawyers. You dig?
You're a wizard, Harry.
At age 17, Cecil has just become the youngest wizard barista ever and begins to work at the Butterfly Law Offices. While she hasn't realized it yet, she has tremendous magical potential.
Dun, dun,
dun. Dun, 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 dun. I actually started working at a law firm recently, too.
Did you?
I am a barista.
That's fantastic.
I'm actually not a barista, but I am working at a law office. So
you're such a liar.
So the about what?
Being a barista.
No, but I do. I am not a barista, but I am working at a law office. That's true. So the anime is really about this girl Cecil, who's trying to prove her mother's innocence. So right off the bat in this anime, you find out that her mother was previously tried for murder. And she was sentenced to death, I guess, in the wizard courts.
Oh no!
But she's on like murderer's row. She's waiting for her execution or whatever in jail, like we do in America for like 500 years. It's like you're sentenced to death, but you'll die in 20 years when we get around to it, basically, right?
Yeah.
And so Cecil hopes to through her time being a lawyer, a wizard barista, she wants to prove her mother's innocence, and you know. Free her from her fate because she doesn't believe that her mother is guilty, essentially.
Okay, makes sense.
And in doing so, they go through several court cases where people have committed various crimes, various levels of egregiousness, and they'll have some combat in the show, fighting of various types. So there's a couple of different types of action that pop up in Wizard Baristas. The first one is magical related combat. I don't want to disappoint anybody, but the best action scene that happens in this whole show happens in the first 5 minutes of the anime. Now, that sounds like a really crappy prognosis, but there is a scene in the beginning of the anime where a wizard, I think they're called WUDs in the anime.
Uh-oh.
Is trying to escape the police, and he's on a train, and the police are firing machine gun bullets at him, and he's blocking them with a shield, and they end up destroying the train and like half the city block, and it's a pretty good scene. But after that, there's not a whole lot of that type of combat. You do have people in the anime that can sort of generate water from like their hands, and they shoot water. You got people that can shoot fire, they can shoot air. So you got like waterbenders, airbenders, firebenders, and then you have
then the Fire Nation attacked.
And then you have these people that can create these things called diaboloids and metaboloids, and they're like these giant mech robots that like Cecil will be like diaboloid blah 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 go, and she'll gather materials from everything in the area that's metal, like Magneto, I guess she can like control metal. So she'll take all this metal So, for example, at the end of the anime, she ends up pulling, like, half of Tokyo Tower to create this big mech robot that she rides in and fights. So, this anime probably has mecha in the themes, because I would say in 5 or 6 episodes, there is a mech robot.
Interesting. This is not an anime I would have thought of when I think mecha.
Now, the bad thing about the mech robots is that they're done in CG, and they look terrible. Really, really terrible. And generally speaking, compared to other mech shows that I've seen that have good action, like Knights of Sidonia, or...
Knights of Sidonia.
Which has a great theme song, by the way.
Yes, it does.
And a second season coming out.
It does. Does it?
Yes, it does.
Oh.
And also, or
I'm
like...
I'm disagreeing. I'm like, yes.
Or like Majestic, right. Majestic Prince. This anime's mecha action is not good. It's terrible. It's not real good. It's not bad. It's not real good. You have some action scenes that take place in subways, a couple fight scenes that take place in the actual courtroom. But generally speaking, it's sort of a subpar average action anime. So you find out that there's actually a greater plot happening behind the scenes with some organizations that are, you know, you have some corrupt police. There's going to be some spoilers in this review. This review is probably going to go on for about another 10 minutes, and there will be some spoilers. So... take it from me, you probably don't want to watch this anime anyway, so don't worry about it. So the anime generally is about this group of people that are trying to summon Lucifer. So you have some devil worshippers in the show that are using their wizard magic to summon the devil.
I have to admit, I saw a little bit of the ending over your shoulder as you were refreshing yourself. Kind of reminded me of Bible Black. Kind of.
Yes, a little bit. Is that because they had her, like, chained down and they were doing, like, a ritual?
Yeah, I kind of expected them to start going, Zazas, Zazas, Nasta, Nasta, Zazas.
Zazas, Zazas, River. You've seen Bible Black just a few times, haven't you? You even know the chant. You filthy, dark Chiaki beast.
Yes.
And the chat is like, yes, I know that too. That was my ringtone for 10 years.
Oh, well, now you can make a ringtone of me saying it.
And all the sexual things come out in the chat all at once. Great. So, their goal is to summon Lucifer. The main bad guy in the show wants to obtain Lucifer's power so he can wreak retribution upon the non-magic portion of human society that have been persecuting the Woods for years. Because in this anime, there is sort of this balance in society where you have the magic users and the non-magic users, and they don't really get along. The non-magic users are persecuting the Woods.
And Wood?
They'll do things like picket. They'll be picketing, like, no more magic, and they'll be picketing the picket signs, or they'll kill them or whatever, put them in jail.
Whoa.
And so
killing. We just got... that'll escalate it quickly.
And so the... he wants to wreak retribution upon the non-magic portion of society. And to do so, he has to use Cecily's body as a catalyst to...
Nasta, nasta, zazas.
See, nasta, nasta, zazas, zazas. All right, check. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it.
No, I already did it.
Do it one more time.
I already did it.
The chat wants you to do it.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. They said, wow, Chiaki knows the chant. That's, see that right there?
See, they already heard it, though.
Anyway, so the entire story ends up being about making Lucifer enticed with Cecil, so they're like unlocking her latent magical powers. You know, they actually bring her back from the dead at one point, and all this is done to make Lucifer interested in her to make him easy to summon. You're pointing at me. What do I?
Zaza, Zazas, Nasta, Nasta, Zazas. Because, I mean, really, like, they're unlocking her magic?
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I mean, really, you're describing...
yeah?
You're describing a hentai on this one.
Well, there is one scene towards the end of the anime where they have her chained down, and they summon Lucifer, and he goes into her body, and she obtains herself a pair of pretty red eyes, some, like, fangs... big demon wings burst out of her back. She gets, like, this demon tail, and Lucifer does summon.
Wait, so she's chained down.
Yeah.
And they're summoning the devil.
Yep.
And Lucifer goes into her body.
Yes, he does. Through the front door.
Okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
Cool.
It's okay. It's okay. So some really dumb shit happens in this anime, though. The ending is really terrible. It's one of the worst endings that happened that whole season. So they end up having this giant robot mech fight because after they summon Lucifer, everyone gets angry and has a hissy fit, and they go, "I'm gonna kill you with my mech. No, I'm gonna summon my mech too." So it's really funny because in the beginning of the show, they're talking about how rare it is to be able to summon a mech robot and like generate it with all these metal parts and stuff and build it and ride in it. And I swear to you, every single person that you come across in this anime after they said that can generate a mech robot. It's hilarious. Everybody can do it. I can do it. Watch this. Ready? I'm gonna do it. Ready? All right. Ready? Zostas, Nostas, Sinestas, Nostas.
You watch your Bible, Black.
Chucky's like, "You can't do it. You haven't watched nearly enough pornography." Good Lord. Get your head out of the gutter. So, like, she's fighting the guy, right? And she wins the fight. They're falling out of the sky because their mech robots get destroyed in midair. And so they're falling out of the sky, like, from thousands of feet. And out of nowhere, Cecil grows a pair of angel wings, and she flies down. So, like, if somebody was trying to kill me, right? Mm-hmm. The first thing I'm going to do is grow angel wings so that I can fly through the air and rescue them. Because that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then you want to know what makes even more sense?
What?
I think that the next thing I will do is want to be their lawyer in the court trial.
Hmm.
Don't you think so?
Yeah.
Don't you think you might have some like conflict of interest there?
You know.
Yeah, just a bit.
Just a little. But it's cool. It's cool.
It's cool because it's anime.
We'll do our best.
One of the things that in this show that turned people off, and I think most people didn't give it a try, even right from the get-go, was the appearance of Cecil. Mm. Do you remember what she looks like, Chiaki?
Yes. Purple hair, right?
Purple hair.
Okay.
I'm going to pull up a picture of Cecil.
She's like Moe 10.0, right?
Yeah, to a degree. She's not like a super Moe character because she's 17. She's older, and she seems older, like, in the show. Here, this is a picture of her right here.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's not a Moe character, and I'll post a picture to the chat so people can see, but her appearance is very cutesy. She wears a short skirt. She has purple hair with pigtails. She acts like a young girl, and they'll take every opportunity that they can in this show to sexualize her. I'm pretty sure that the only reason why they even had mech robots in this show at all was so that they could continually show her bent over in the doggy style position in the cockpit.
That's wonderful.
I mean, here's a picture on Google right here of her like pet rabbit or her pet frog thing pulling off her underwear in the apartment. Have a look. There it is right there for you. And here's a picture of her in the bathtub with her gigantic rack.
Okay. Got it.
So there's a lot of sexualization going on of the anime, and which is why I have this feeling that Umetsu probably has like some deleted scenes of her getting plowed by like half the police force, and that
he couldn't resist himself. Well, he was just like,
well, in Kite, you like they're doing something totally innocent, like having ice cream, and then bam, with no transition whatsoever, they're just randomly having sex like in an apartment building, and then bam, right back to ice cream. I mean, literally, that's how abrupt it is in Kite. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did something like that in Wizard Breasters. The anime is not great. I think that there are some merits to it. It has decent-ish music. I think that some of the action scenes are pretty decent. The one in the beginning is a little bit more than decent. It's pretty good, actually. I think that some of the characters are likable, some of them are god-awful, and the animation is pretty average, I would say. I didn't mind the character designs. I thought that the artistic style of the show was pretty good, but I liked Cecil. I thought her appearance was pretty cute. I had no problem with it. I like Umetsu's character designs, the way that he draws faces and figures. I'm been watching his shows for years, so I have no qualms with that kind of thing. But all in all, the show was just really dragged down by all the dumb stuff that happened in it and all of the bad CG combat with the mech robots. Mm. When I picked the show, I was hoping for a show more like Mezzo, you know? A more down-to-earth show where they're fighting and with assassins and guns and whatever, but But no, the show was just a little bit bizarre. I mean, it's... And the courtroom drama in the anime was just god-awful.
Objection.
I mean, they did
nothing
do,
of that?
They did that a couple times. Okay. But of course you're going to have objections in the courtroom. But the crap that they would do in the courtroom is just ridiculous. Like, just unbelievable antics that would never fly. You were like, you have Cecil like joking around with the judge, and it just it didn't even feel like a real court trial half the time in this anime. I didn't really like the show. I'm gonna give it its review now, its score now, because I don't have much else to say about the show. I'm probably gonna give it about a 1.5 out of 5.
Dun dun dun.
It's nothing worth seeing, honestly. It's a 12 episode anime, so it's not much of a time commitment, but there's just no real reason to watch it. I think that if you want to watch like goofy sexualized antics, there's tons of shows that you could go watch that have that. Like Sora no Itoshimono is a show that I don't really care for, but it does that way better. That's the panty show of the angel girl who has the chain around her neck.
Right.
Her rack is way bigger, and she's way more naked for most of that anime. If you want to watch an action anime, go watch Shadow Skill or something. Go watch some action anime that's meant to be just action.
Hey, Magi has some amazing action.
Go watch Magi or Hunter x Hunter or something. I mean, if you want to watch a show that has like has magic in it, go watch Magi.
Go read Harry Potter.
Go read Harry Potter or something.
Read a book.
Read a book. I mean, it's there's
or read the 12 Kingdoms.
That's one of the things. I mean, I think Wizard Breasters maybe was trying to do one too many things at once in this anime. And it became a big problem.
You can't be everything to everyone. You have to pick something to be to someone.
So, yeah, it was ended up being a pretty disappointing anime for me. Umetsu let me down. I may not pick up the next Umetsu anime that comes out. So, yeah, a little bit disappointing.
All right. Well, thank you for suffering through that anime on behalf of everybody else. So now we don't know not to watch it.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least I can cross it off the list now. We have a bunch of anime that we still haven't done. Actually, more than a few. Oh. But I think we'll get to all of them eventually. So one more time, I just want to remind everybody about the Podcast Fantasy Football League. I really do think that all the slots will be filled up in just a couple weeks. But as of the time that you're listening to this, my bet would be that there will be a couple entry spots left for you. If you go on our forum, there is a stickied thread that talks about the Fantasy Football League rules. Or if you just want to send $20 to hosts@aaapodcast.com, I will send you your invite to our ESPN League pretty much right away. I'm obsessive about it, so you'll get your invite within like an hour for sure.
He's super excited.
Last year we had so many people that I had to cap it at 14. We probably could have had like a 20 person league if I wanted to, but that's just ridiculous. And no, you know, not really doable for most people. So, any closing thoughts, Chiaki?
Wear your sunscreen if you go to the beach. There you go. That's my closing thought. Skin health.
Is that your advice from a person who burns like within like 30 seconds?
Yes. I walked down to a restaurant for breakfast. I was out in the sun for like 30 minutes. Not even. I was walking. I was like 20 minutes and I was burnt.
You know, I know the best thing about doing Wizard Breasters tonight was? I don't think anybody's going to hate on me for not liking it.
Here's to hoping.
Anyway, you can find us on our website, www.aaapodcast.com. There's an interesting poll on the website pretty much every week. You can find our new episodes on there, play trivia, visit our forum, which is growing very quickly, it seems, still.
Yeah.
So it's very active. We talk about all the current subjects about the new season and everything like that. We're on iTunes. We can get us every week. I recommend subscribing on iTunes, so they will send you our episodes. There's a podcast app you can download that will literally upload the new episode immediately as I release it every week. So I use that, and I recommend the people that listen to podcasts get the podcast app. Of course, we're on Facebook and Twitter. We're at aaapodcast.com, so we are active on there. So come say hi to us, and we're live every Saturday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Ustream.tv. Once again, we had a good audience as always.
Thank you, everyone who joined us.
People talking about how much they hate Pupa, and you know. The chat's asking if there is an age limit. I don't care if you're under 18. if you have a PayPal account and can pay your buy-in, I don't care how old you are.
As long as it's yours and not your parents.
So, yeah, if you're under 18, you can send your money. I don't mind.
Does PayPal let you have an account, though, if you're under 18?
I don't know. Anyway, the closing theme for you tonight is the song Yume no Matsubasho from the anime Selector Infected Wixsauce by the artist Shua. That's a tough name. C-Y-U-A.
Ooh.
How do you pronounce that?
Not sure, but good job on it. Take care, everyone.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week, and I hope everyone had a safe 4th of July, so use all the rest of your fireworks, and... So then be safe. We'll see you then.
See ya.